the Christian life really doesn't have any meaning at all. You know, we just appear to be a bunch of folk floating around out there in oblivion somewhere. Does a life of self-concern bring being solely wrapped up in you please God? Think about it. You think Christ is pleased with that? I think that he's appalled at it. If indeed Christ is God and he is alive and he sees and knows everything that's going on in our lives, when we have a life that is self-consuming like that, that does not please God. How can there be, if his life in ours, if we have not denied ourselves for his cause? It can't be. And secondly, I see here that denial is voluntarily. It is a free choice. I had a free choice to do something. I could have watched movies tonight and ate a little yogurt and enjoyed my evening, but I denied myself. And I'm going to preach this again tomorrow morning to the people in Anselm. What people are left, not too many left. Because, listen, people don't like that choice. It comes, this denial that we have to do, this denial that we have to live, it comes in forms of direct acts. In other words, we have to think it out. We have to plan about how we can deny ourselves, and then we have to enforce it every day in our lives. In Luke 22:42, Jesus had to state it the way it was. Thus, he was crucified. You see, he knew what that denial would bring him. Do you know what the denial will bring you? Most of us say, well, I don't know. You know, we have to hope that everything works out for the best. That's not the way it is. Go to Luke chapter 22 and verse 42 with me. It says, saying, Father, if thou art willing, Jesus said to God the Father, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but thine be done. So you see what denial is? You deny yourself and you accept it. He fulfilled his purpose of denying himself. He paid the ultimate price for our salvation through an act of denial. Happy Easter. You see, that's what it's all about. It's not about the Easter bunny, the Easter rabbit, look at my Easter bonnet and all that kind of stuff. Nice little fancy worldly song, but it has absolutely nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Secondly, in this outline, he called us to be disciplined. Okay, deny yourself, take up your cross. That's discipline, verse 34b. Jesus puts forth the idea here in this verse that all of us as believers should do this. Not just me. All of us should be disciplined. All of us have a cross to bear. There's a song that we used to sing in church when I was a young man. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, my friend, there's a cross for you and there's one for me. See, he doesn't bear this cross alone. Our becoming a Christian doesn't mean that, okay, Jesus died and went to Calvary, so I don't have to do anything. All I have to do is set on my assets and just... All right, you know what? I don't want to use bad language. Sit on your laurels and hardy and don't do anything. No. All believers should do the following. Get into the practice of shouldering conflict, because if you're living out the Christian life, conflict is going to come your way. Life's difficulties are coming. There were some Christians in New Orleans, believe it or not, when Katrina hit. They weren't spared, nor were their houses spared, flooded out. Some possibly died. When he says to bear the cross or to take up the cross, whatever it may be at that particular given time in your life, that's your cross. Okay? You lose your job, that's a cross. Bear it. Well, how am I going to make it? The Lord said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I've never seen the righteous forsaken and his feet begging bread. Bear that. But it's difficult. It's not supposed to be easy. It wasn't difficult for Christ. That's why we recognize Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday. That's what it's all about. It's not about going to church, having a donkey in there, crapping on the floor, and are going to the Crystal Cathedral and see angels flying and people having circus in the church. It's not about that. It's never been about that. So you have to bear that cross, whatever it might be. Jesus is saying, hey, Christian, hey, saint, hey, believer, join me as my disciple. Follow me. See, this is what following in the footsteps of Christ is all about, following him. As I work, so you're going to work in my vineyard until the harvest is ripe. And you know something, my friends, when you look at America today, when you look at the cities that you live in, the neighborhoods, the people that you coerce with. I was somewhere last night, and I'm telling you, I saw a room full of people who needed Christ. I just turned and walked out of there. I said, come on, we can't go in there. See, as I toil and labored and wept and suffered and strived to complete my task, even so, you're supposed to do the same thing. Now, see, a lot of you are saying, wait a minute, I didn't know that Christianity came with this kind of a clause with it. Yes, it did. Yes, it did. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. It reads like this. It says, if we endure, okay, that's hupomino. Hupomino. That's that Greek word for endure. Okay? He says, we shall also reign. Oh, now this is a beautiful Greek word. Some basileo. We shall reign with him. See, you don't reign with him. You don't spend no time reigning with him unless you, what? Endure with him. That's the last part of the verse. See, all we thinking about is, I'm going to go to heaven. I got shoes. You got shoes. All of God's children got shoes. When we get to heaven, we're going to put on our shoes. We're going to walk all over. God said, no, no, no. You got to endure with him. Becoming a Christian is suffering. That's why in my personal life, in ministry, what so-called Christians have done to me, I have suffered. Suffered the loss of, man, I had a preacher call me and he was talking about it. He said, man, you've suffered the loss of ministry. And I said, yeah, this is true. And I said, but I'm not complaining. That's just it. That's what Christianity is supposed to be. It's not all of this, I got a big church and I'm doing this and I'm doing, oh no. You want to see a real Christian? A real Christian suffers because he's toiling to do the work. I don't want you to think that being a Christian is a cakewalk. It is not a cakewalk. Cross bearing will bring you some pain. Okay? But there's something else that we can know. You know that victory can be yours. Of course it hurts. But the finality of it is victory in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18 says, therefore we do not lose heart. But though our outward man is decaying, that means the body's beat up, you're losing your job, you're getting sick, you're getting ulcers, you're depressed, he says, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. This is what the Holy Spirit does in us. For momentary light affliction. Look at what Paul calls this cross bearing. Momentary light affliction. What is it producing? It's producing for us an eternal weight of glory far greater beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, loss of job, loss of car, loss of house, loss of loved ones, loss of friendships, loss of church deed, loss of good godly pastors for the pimp. But he says, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. In other words, they're just substantive stuff that you can put your hands on. He says, but the things which are not seen are eternal. See, you have to understand that. So we have this, I call it blessed assurance, that his presence is with us all the time, not just when we come to church on Sunday. I don't know how to drill that through. Well, I guess I can by taking you to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. He says, for... You also became imitators of us, Paul says, and of the Lord, having received the word in what? In much thlipsis. That's that Greek word, tribulation, with the joy of the Holy Spirit. In other words, with this trial and difficulty, the joy of the Holy Spirit comes also. Now, I want you to note something here. You note that these saints are disciplined to receive the word of God while under tremendous stress. This is a part of our lives. Boy, that's wonderful. You know, just thinking about that, I'm gonna pause right now because I want to play a number for you. And let me see. I had it set up. Here's a number by Sherman Andrews and Terry Blackwood, and it's a nice number. And I hope that I can start it right on the turntable. If I'm scratching, I'm not the best DJ. Plus, the studio is kind of half dark here. It's called It Happened. See, because you aren't going to be able to do anything for Christ until it happens. No, I don't want to scratch it. Let me do it right. Sherman Andrews, Terry Blackwood from Andrews, Blackwood and Company. I know you're going to love this piece. Christ happened. Thank you, Sherman Andrews, Terry Blackwood. from a real nice album. Nice album. Mm-hmm. I like that.